Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good. And all the time, we also know, hold to, and proclaim with our lives, I pray, that God has given us three commands, and those three commands are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world. And that is exactly what we do. Every Sunday we come, we hear the word of the Lord, we proclaim it in truth and without shame, and we take it into our lives to take us out into the world. This is our feasting. This is our communion every week as we come to take the word of the Lord, and that word is our meat, for it is Christ. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word is God, and therefore we go. But we also this day have the opportunity to partake of the sacrament, and that we will. But today we are looking at God is unchanging, and I have been speaking about this for some time in the fact of what we found when we came here and we started doing the renovations. As many of you know, and as I said, you've heard this on the internet, and you knew I was going to preach about it. I mean, how many figured pastors got to preach about this thing at some point in time? Well, it's today. Today we are looking at the unchanging nature of God, for as we found when we came behind the painting, behind the curtain, behind it all, was in gold leaf, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So therefore, if you would, open your scriptures to the book of Hebrews, because that's where we're going to be in the word today. And from the book of Hebrews, we're going to be in the 13th chapter. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 is where we will begin this day. We're going to begin in the first verse, and we are going to carry through to verse 10. From the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, in the first verse, thus saith the word of the Lord. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners, as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are also in the body. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money and being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. As I look at these words and bring them into mind and put them into play in my life, it shows me some very real things that God would have of me, that God tells me from verses 1 through verse 5 that I am the one who needs to change. I am the one who needs to let go of some of these things in our world and let go of some of my own aspirations and aspire to the things of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. And no, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you. Amen again. Yeah, there you go. Because it's easy for you to amen it for me, but is it easy for you to amen it for yourself? Because we are the ones who need to change. God stays the same. God stays the same throughout all eternity. He is the same creator from the time before time when he was complete in and of himself, in eternity existing for who long, how long, who knows. It was called eternity because there was no time. He created time for us. And you've all heard me say this before. We all wear a watch to tell us time. God wears time because he made it. He controls it. He can slow it down and he can speed it up. How many of you, as you're getting older, swear he's speeding the clock up? When you're a young kid, oh, the end of school year will never get here. And then summer goes and it's gone quickly. In our lives, we need to see that we are the ones who are affected by all these things. God is the same. He is consistent. And in his consistency, we have hope. When I think again on these words that we look at, we are told through the word of God, it tells us in James 1, 16 and 17, that God does not change as shifting shadows. That you and I need to understand. Our world changes. We change. How many of us don't look like we used to do? You know, I look in the mirror now and I see this old guy. And I'm wondering where Richie is. Because he ain't there no more. But yet, in my mind, I'm right there. I still feel like that 30-year-old until my body starts to ache. And things start to tell on me. I age. God does not age. But the day will come when God's going to reverse the aging of our lives. We're going to be in our 30s forever. How many of you want to go back to your 30s? In your physical being, okay? In your physical being. Not that we have to go back and live it again. All right, I don't want to do that. Done with that. Let's get past it. But to be that age for all eternity. Well, Pastor, how do you know we're going to be 30? For we will be as he is. How old was he when he passed? He was in his 30s. And we will be as he is. Because that is the age of closer to the fullness of who we are. You know, I think it's funny when I think about the reality. When I was 13, I thought I knew it all. I thought I had all the answers. Ask my parents. They'll tell you. I told them. We all did it. And now we're dealing with teenagers that are doing it to us. And what's awesome is when you get to be a grandparent and your grandkids start doing that stuff. And I'm just a little bit more cynical now, so I get to play some games with them little ones. But again, it's to make them change, to grow them up in the way of the Lord, not to be a cynical person unto their hurt. Amen? To literally be that grandparent to guide them, to love them and nurture them, fill them with sugar and candy and then send them home. But God wants to fill us with his goodness, and that goodness changes us to the image, to be like him. Because again, we're the ones who change. And if we're not the ones who change, and God is, do we have anything to follow? I want you to think about that reality. If God can change his mind, how can we pick up this book and say that this is the word of God? Because, excuse me, it started all the way back here in the beginning with Adam. And it goes to the book of Revelation, which is yet to come. And if we can't hold this with a sense of security, what do we have to hold on to? We have nothing. And that's what our world tells us. Well, there are so many contradictions in that book that, you know, you can't take that thing for what it says. And I asked people, show me one contradiction. Show me one contradiction. And it's amazing because they'll pick out something obscure and they'll bring it to me and they'll say this, that, the next thing about it. And then I will ask them, have you read it in context? Or are you taking that out of context to make it mean what you want it to mean? And you see, that's where we have to be the ones to change, not God. We have to be the ones to put it into its proper perspective. And guess what happens as we do? Our perspective of God changes, and therefore we know more of Him. When I was young and early in the church, and you know, I came up through a church, and God bless them, they ordained me. Okay, they ordained me. And there were many people in that church, and I was one of them because we're all here. We all do the same thing. When you become a Christian, a young Christian, when you're first coming through, you know, and I think it's funny because it tells us here, it's the first verse, let love of the brethren continue, and do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. You know, I think it's funny. How many churches do we walk into and you find these little cliques everywhere where these people just, you know, they deal with each other and somebody new comes in and they look over and they go, oh, I wonder who they are. Well, why don't you go find out? Aren't we supposed to love the stranger and invite them in? By doing so, some of us are entertaining angels. Wouldn't it be awesome to have an angel in the church? I hope there's more than an angel in the church. I hope the Holy Spirit's here. I'd love to see the fact that God's here. And I know He is. How do I know that? Look around. Look around. Do you feel the Spirit of the Lord in this place? I'm telling you right now, I got goosebumps. And that's not because the air conditioning's on. That's because the Holy Spirit is here. In the singing, when we sing, in the prayers, when we pray, I can sense the heart of the Lord in this place. Why? Because He is entering in with us. He says in His word that He's going to come with us and dwell with us. No, He says He's going to come upon us and be what? In us. And therefore, God is right here. In each individual. And as we pour out unto Him, He changes us. Now, I am going to tell you, over time, God does some really amazing things because God doesn't change, but God is going to change the order of things. God is going to make us understand that our perspective has to change to Him. And if it doesn't, God's going to do some things. Turn in your Bibles. Keep a finger here, okay? So if you have a bookmark, pick it up and drop it in there because we're coming back because we have to come back. But right now, we're going to go to Philippians. I want us to go to Philippians. Philippians. And we're going to be in chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 5. Because again, it's all about perspective. And what does perspective begin with? Perspective begins with attitude. Okay? How do I know that? Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Again, It is God working in us to change our perspective, to change us to the image of Christ. And what is that image? I just read it to you. As each of us started here, we need to have the attitude of Christ. God is the same, and the attitude he brought when he came as a man was the attitude that he always had. The Trinity operates as one. None of them are above the other. Okay? They have a set form of governance within themselves, for they are he. The three are one. Now, how can we comprehend that? Well, let's put it this way. How many of you are a son? You know, I'm talking to the guys. How many of you women are a daughter? How many of you men are a father? How many of you women are a mother? How many of you men are a husband? How many of you women are a wife? You are many things more than just one. And we have the perspective on each. God understands that perspective, and he's trying to get us to see that we need to be one with him. Therefore, we need to be imitators of God, as I spoke last week. And therefore, we put on the righteousness of Christ. We bring upon ourselves his attitude. We exist knowing that we are children of God, that we are to emulate God in our lives, but we are not God. In fact, we're far from it. Can I get an amen? But we all try to achieve that goal and that good, not only for our children, not only for ourselves, but for the world. And we act as God would act. It so amazes me because what I see happening, and it has happened in the church, that when the church thinks itself knows better than what the Bible is teaching, they'll take a teaching and they'll run with it, and it becomes a false teaching. It has happened throughout all the denominations. And it's one of the things that we have to safeguard here amongst ourselves in the Protestant church. We are no different. Everybody likes to say, oh, well, look what those Catholics did. You know, that's why us Protestants, you know, that's why we're where we are, because we're so good. There is no one good, no, not one. Can I get an amen, church? We understand that we're fallen, and that's one of the things that I love about being the heart of Christ Jesus. Jesus did not think being equal with God was something that could be grasped. He is God, and yet he showed us how to live, submitting ourselves. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and always. And as we live that life, as we live that transparent life before the Lord, our perspective of him changes. And we see a God that loves us even when we shouldn't be loved. Can I get an amen, church? Because I'm going to tell you right now, we are a mess. Can you say that with me? We are a mess. Thank you, Brother David. We agree. We aren't going to start a counseling session today. When we can see ourselves clearly for who we are and who we aren't, all of a sudden we begin to gain the perspective of the love of God, the hope of God, the character of God, who says, look, I know you're not perfect. But I've given you that which is, my son. Believe in him, hold on to him, and God saves us. From what? From ourselves. From the sin that we welcomed in. And he begins to transform us, making us something we aren't. When we aren't the church, God removes the church. I want you to hear me say that again. When we aren't the church, God removes the church. Pastor, what do you mean? How many of you have read the beginning of the book of Revelation? There are seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation. Are any of those churches in existence anymore? Absolutely not. None of them. They're all gone. Why? Because they left the teachings of the Lord. But this is the amazing thing. I want you to think about this because this is the truth. The churches are gone, but does the Church of Jesus Christ of Philadelphia still exist? How about Laodicea or Sardis? Yeah, the church is still there. Why is that, Miss Sally? Say remnant. Remnant. That's right! God always has a remnant. Those he carries along because they have not bent the knee to the Baal or the Asherah. They have held fast to the teachings of the Lord. They have held fast to the perspectives that they had learned and did not let go. Isn't that what we read in the book of Hebrews? Consider the way of those who have taught you and imitate those things. Look at the outcome of their life. And if we do that, if we hold to those good teachings, what teachings? These teachings. If we hold to the what we know of God, what the truth of the word says, he will not abandon us. Man, you are awesome. She didn't realize she's that smart. She is. And as you and I hold to that reality, God always has a remnant. And that remnant will bring forth new life because God will send new life to it. We don't serve a God of the dead. We serve a God of the living. Amen. And God, where he sees life, he will prune it down. How many of us realize now what Pastor's been talking about? He will prune that tree all the way down. In fact, Brother David said here to me just the other day, you know, he talks about a tree where he went and he was going to cut her down. And the gardener says, oh no, hang on there. Let me dig around it and put some manure around the bottom of it. And you know, we're going to give it some hard time here. But in that hard time, and I'm going to cut it back, you know, and then we'll see what happens. And guess what? When the tree receives the pruning, the tree grows. And it produces life yet again. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and always. We told you folks from St. John's, and this goes out to all of you that are here from this community, and I pray that you will tell everyone that you know that was part of this community of faith. We want you to be members of this church, the Heart of Christ Church. It was our heart to you, and we still hold that open, that each and every one of you who is from the heart, from St. John's UCC, we welcome you as brothers and sisters, equal in faith. And if you will sign our constitution, as all of us have to, it's the very first line of our Constitution, we all willingly agree. And what we're agreeing to is the Word of God. Can I get an amen, Heart of Christ Church?
Amen.
We welcome you to become members of this body in full standing. We want to love you. And that means those who are out there, which then also means we, as the Heart of Christ Church, we have a list of all the folks that were on the rolls. Guess what our job is? Guess what our, yes, we need to go. There's one of our goings. That these who are strangers, we need to go see, we need to visit, we need to love upon them and bring them into the fold if they will come. That's going to be our first ministry. Because our perspective is the perspective of Christ. We go after the lost sheep and we ask them to come home. Come home. Come back to the word. Come back to the love. Come back to the hope that is Christ Jesus our Lord. And as we come back to that hope, as we hold fast to the word of life, that day we'll have reason to glory. And that's verse 16 of that very same Philippians 2. As we do that, we have something to hold fast to because God does not change. He is always the same. And we can come back to that hope, can we not? Amen. But Pastor, what about, you know, Israel and what hope do they have? Well, I want you to think about what they did. Turn back in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews where we left off. Hebrews in 13. Because God here was making a way. And we have the confidence, each and every one of us knows this to be true, that God will never desert us. He will never forsake us. But no, wait a minute, didn't he forsake Israel? No, he didn't forsake Israel. He still hasn't forsaken Israel. How do I say that word? Forsaken. Oh my gosh. Hey, I'm Pennsylvania Dutch and y'all know it. But as we look at where we are and we understand, God still has a way for them. In fact, you know, I hate to say this, but the tribulation and the millennium is for that very reason. To bring Israel back into the fold. To bring all the promises back unto Israel. But they can receive them now. How? Through the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor Rich, how do you know that? What does it say here in verses 9 and 10? It says, do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by what? By grace. Is not the cross of Jesus Christ the greatest grace that any of us could ever know? He took upon himself our sins. He took upon himself our iniquities. He went to hell on our behalf. But being God, hell could not keep him. Can I get an amen? Amen. And he rose from the dead, and therefore our sins are there because that's where he deposited them. And now we have a meal that we can partake, a meal that benefits us. Read on. He says, not by foods through which those who were occupied were not benefited. What is that talking about? Is that not talking about the priests who ate of the offering that was put before the Lord during their times of sacrifice? They would eat of that offering and it received them nothing because they did not believe in the Messiah who came that those things represented. But we have an offering. We have a meal that we can partake from verse 10. For we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Because they rejected Christ, for them to eat of this meal that you and I are about to partake, how can they find salvation? They can't even partake of their food now because the temple is no more. They're looking to rebuild the temple. They have the red heifers over there now. They're looking to start something up that's been dead for 2,000 years, two millennia. And yet, we thrive. We thrive at the table of the Lord. And I pray that each and every one of you understand. Now, this one doesn't have it, but many altars, in fact, it does say it on the front of the table here. It says, this do in remembrance of me. Do you realize every Sunday we are partaking of communion? Every Sunday. But Pastor, how is that? Don't we take the word of the Lord into ourselves? Don't we preach the word of God? Unadulterated, Pastor David? Unadulterated. Sometimes it steps on our toes, Pastor David. It better, that means you and I need to be right, amen? And that means every one of you need to keep us right.
Jesus is the word.
And in that word, as we partake of that word, there's the bread. Well, what about the cup? Why do you think we confess our sins every Sunday, people? Every Sunday, we confess our sins. Every Sunday, we come under the blood of the cross for that purging. We are taking in the food of our Lord every Sunday. You see, this meal that we're about to partake is a physical meal. It is bread, it is juice, or wine in some churches. But it is far more than just physical elements. There is a spiritual aspect to it that goes beyond ourselves that only God can do. And that is in the Spirit, we understand what we're doing because we know what Christ has done for us. And our perspective changes. And all of a sudden we understand God in a whole lot better, in a more different way. A way that is more perfect, a way that brings us to a oneness with Him who never changes. And we are the ones who have to change. How many of you leave here on a Sunday dealing with stuff that you've dealt with all week and you're like, man, I got to get that right. Whew, how did Pastor know that? I love talking to some of you folks when you leave here. Because you'll be telling me things like, man, how did you know? You said this, that, the next thing. And I'm like, wow, that didn't have anything to do with what I was talking about. But that's because the Spirit talks to you. Can I get an amen? He knows where you are. The Word is a living, double-edged sword, dividing unto the bone and the marrow. I simply bring the message. The Word does His work. What did I just say? Not its work, His work. And His work is done by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. And we are changed every day. Every time we partake of this food, you and I are changed. He stays the same. How many of you have ever seen the words on your Bible change? I've never seen them change. Now, if I pick up another translation, it may say something a little different. But it's written down. Here it is. Deal with it. As I say often, suck it up, cupcake. This is what it says. And I'm not changing it for anybody. And I don't expect you to allow me to. Can I get an amen? We all have to hold one another to the flame. And that flame is the fire of the Holy Spirit. And may we walk therein. For the priests of the temple could not partake of what we are getting ready to partake of, just as we would not have been allowed to partake of their food, because it was holy. So too is this meal holy. And God welcomes all who what? Believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, that He died on the cross of Calvary and that He rose again in the forgiveness of sins. When you and I understand that, the whole perspective of our lives changes. But God remains the same. And I think it's funny because, again, in the book of Revelation, and you know I use this often, what does it tell us? Before the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ crucified. He knew we were going to be here today, didn't He, Miss Susan? He knew we were going to be here today, didn't He, church? And He knows what tomorrow holds. And we trust Him. Can I get an amen? Amen? Let us pray. Father God, we are saved not by following the letter of the law, but by following He who is the law, the judge, the redeemer, and our Savior. May we be ever changing and not arriving. For Lord God, as it told us in the book of Philippians, that we are to be working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And we know that is progressive sanctification, that we are the ones changing, that You remain the same, and praise You for that, for that means Your love towards us will never, ever waver, and Your truth will stand forever. We open our hearts to You this day as we get ready to enter into our time of communion. And we ask, Lord, that You would walk with us, guide us, keep us, and hold us. And I pray for everyone out there on the internet who's watching us or listening to us this day, that you would have the peace of God, knowing that He is the same yesterday, today, and always. For He is God, and we are but the creation of His hand. And all the church says, amen. and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.